Thank you. Good evening. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you very much for coming out this evening. Can you hear me, Dick? Is this loud enough? Can you hear me, Dick?
You can kind of holler a little bit.
Is that better? Okay. For about a month now, God has been pricking my conscience. He's been wanting me to study more. He's even had my children tell me that they want to study with me. And I've been impressed by God that this is what he wants me to talk about tonight. Is studying and why, and the reasons for it. We're going to talk about studying. We're going to talk about some definitions of certain words that are in the scriptures tonight. And as we read, we're going to be going to a lot of different spots tonight. But as we read, you will start to see a pattern in the things that are in the scriptures. And hopefully you will be impressed by what he has written. I know I was. It all tied together and it all leads back to one thing. And when we get to the end, maybe you'll see how it all works. But anyway, we will be talking about studying, and studying in the New Testament, the word study means to be diligent. The word approved means to be acceptable or tested, of good reputation, accounted, tried, proven, to seem good. So approved is one of the words. Study means diligent, or diligent means to study. They're interchangeable. So the first place that we are going to read, and this is kind of the way I study, so you'll kind of get a little insight into my head. I will think of a phrase or something that I feel led to look up, and I'll start looking it up, and I'll look at the references that I can find. I'll look in my Strong's, and I'll look in the Book of Mormon Concordance that I have, and I'll start checking out the references and see what it's about. So the first place we're going to read tonight is in the second book of Timothy. And it's in the second chapter, and I'm going to start at the 14th verse. And this is the writings of Paul, a letter from Paul to Timothy. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so there we have that we're supposed to study to show that we are approved. Kind of like being inspected. I don't know how many of you people remember seeing the Hanes commercial, and the little inspector lady would inspect all the packages of the Hanes garments, and it was inspected and approved by inspector number 12. But I remember that, and it always kind of reminds me that when I see that written there, that I'm really going to be inspected. I'm going to be checked out and make sure that everything's okay, kind of like that little old lady did. but I will be inspected by God. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So when we get approved by God, we will be sealed as his. And the seal will be that the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the seal that we'll get. He will know that we are his. We have been approved. And it says in order to do that, we have to study or be diligent. Studying the scriptures. Be diligent in the scriptures. Know what the scriptures talk about. Know what it says. We have to study it. We have to go over and we have to read and we have to look up things and try and figure out what does it all mean. And you have to read the whole thing because it all fits together and the answer is there. So now let's go back to the first chapter because this is a letter to Timothy and it's a letter from Paul. And I want to start at the first verse this time, the fourth verse of the first chapter of 2 Timothy. And this is Paul's talking to Timothy, and this is how he's entering into this conversation with him. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Excuse me, I missed a line there. Starting over at verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now all of us who have been baptized have received that same gift that Timothy got that Paul's talking about right here, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's been given to us to remind us of what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to act. And as you read down through here, and I know that the first time that I read verse 12, I was quite surprised because it says, And I'm going to go to the middle of verse 12. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I know that most of you recognize that. That's one of our hymns. That's one of the songs that we sing. But the first time I remember reading it, and yeah, I was a lot younger, I was quite surprised that, hey, this is our hymn. This is a song that we sing. And it struck me, wow, I didn't even know that was in there. So these are some of the things that when you study, you find these little pieces. Like with Timothy, when Paul's telling him that, I know, Timothy, that you have this strong, strong faith, just like your grandmother had and your mom had. Well, how does Paul know that? You know, and who were these people, Lois and Eunice? Well, it's in here. Timothy's mother was actually quite well known, especially in her hometown. But she was known by a lot of other people. Turn to Acts. It's in the 16th chapter of Acts. Starting in the first verse. Then, and this is talking about Paul. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. His mom believed. She was a Jewess, and she was well reported of by the brothers there in the towns that she lived in, that town and the neighboring town. They all knew who she was, and they knew that she had a very strong faith, that she believed. Okay? So as you start studying, these things kind of come out, and you start thinking about, well, I knew ladies that had strong faith. You know, my grandmother had strong faith. Both my grandmothers had strong faith. And then you start thinking, well, yeah, my parents. And then I start thinking about the people here at church, and I knew a lot of grandmothers and mothers that had strong faith. So any one of them could have been like Timothy's mom. And any one of them could have had a son like Timothy. And they have, lots of them. So this is why God wants us to study. Let's turn to 2 Peter. We've heard some of Paul's reasons for studying. Let's turn to Peter and see what Peter has to say. 2 Peter, going to start at the first chapter, first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And I want you to try and remember that verse, because Peter's not the first person to say this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, and there's a word, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's go back up there. Gotta have faith. Gotta get out of the world. You have to be diligent. Okay. And besides this, giving all diligence, and besides just giving all diligence, you're going to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So if you're studying and being diligent, you're going to add to your faith. You're going to get virtue. You're going to get knowledge. And to knowledge, you're going to get temperance. And to temperance, you're going to get patience. And to patience, you're going to get godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is the goal. Charity is the thing you really want to get. But you got to start by being diligent. You got to start by studying. Get some knowledge. Okay. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Okay. So if you're not studying and you're not being diligent, you're going to forget. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe when you get there and you get ready to go into his kingdom, maybe it's saying that there is going to be an entrance. Angels will be singing, thanking God that you made it. You like to see that, Randy? I would like to see that. I would really like to see that. I would be very happy. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shewed me. That's why Peter's telling us all these things, and why Paul told us all these things. And believe it or not, that's why I'm telling you all these things, is because I want you to remember that you do have the ability and the chance, a very good chance, to be approved if you're willing to study or be diligent and remember. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Here's an eyewitness telling you, do this. An eyewitness to the voice of God saying how pleased he was with Jesus Christ. Telling you, you want to get into heaven? Do this. Study. Be diligent. Add all of these things to your faith. That strong faith that you have. Okay, now remember, back up here in verse number 2, where Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." You want peace in your life? You want to be blessed by God? You're going to have to get some knowledge. And when you do, that peace and the blessings are going to be multiplied. God's going to be really happy with you. There was a man that had to go through a lot of suffering to find this out. He didn't have all of these scriptures written down, but Peter knew him, or knew of him. He was quite famous. If you will turn to Daniel. The fourth chapter of Daniel, we're going to read about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he was a king. He was a big king, a famous king. He ruled a large part of the earth, and he had a lot of stuff. Okay? So, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He had all of this stuff and everything, and had a good life, and God decided he wasn't exactly doing what he wanted him to do, so he had to make him suffer a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king. This is Nebuchadnezzar, and he wants to speak to everybody. The king. Unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Same kind of a hello as Peter. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to shew the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Nebuchadnezzar thought it'd probably be a good idea to let everybody know the things that God had done for him, the signs that God had shown him, and the knowledge that God had given him. He thought it would be a good idea to let everybody know that therefore they might be able to get some peace. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heavens, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and it giveth it and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. So that's his dream. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. And that means seven seasons. Or 7 years that this is going to be going on and happening to Nebuchadnezzar. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by shewing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. King Nebuchadnezzar, you are going to suffer for 7 years. You're going to eat grass like an oxen for 7 long years. Your hair is going to get frizzy like feathers of an eagle. Your fingernails and toenails are going to grow out like bird claws. And you're going to look like a madman to most people. You're going to have the heart of a beast. And you're going to suffer because of your sins and your iniquities. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? No one can stand up to God and say, what'd you do that for? That doesn't make any sense to me. How come you didn't do this? Why didn't you do it that way? You can't stand up in front of God and say that and expect to get away with it. He will not put up with stuff like that. And just like Nebuchadnezzar, who thought that he had made this great kingdom that he had, that he had made himself to be a mighty king, and feared above all people in the earth, that everybody looked to him. No, he didn't do that. God did that for him. And then he had to bring him low to show him that he was nothing. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that will walk in pride he is able to abase or bring down. So here you have Daniel telling a story about King Nebuchadnezzar, who wants everybody in earth to know that if you want peace multiplied in your life, you're going to have to understand who God is and what it is that God wants you to do in order to not be punished by God, so that you will have peace. Okay? He's telling us the same thing that Peter was telling us and the same thing that Paul was telling us. You got to know how to do it. You got to understand how to do it. And to do that, you have to study or be diligent. And if you do all of that, you're going to be approved. And you'll get peace. Let's turn to... Oh, and by the way, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, got the kingdom after his dad died and didn't even pay attention to the things that his dad was trying to tell him. And he got in all kinds of trouble, and he was found wanting in the balance. And he got punished. Turn to Moroni. This is another guy. 7th chapter, page 767. All right. And just like with Timothy and Paul and Peter, you got to have faith. 48th verse, 7th chapter of Moroni. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. Kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. Sounds like Peter. And sounds like Nebuchadnezzar even. Because he became meek and lowly in his heart, and it was shown to him and done unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. That's what Daniel was trying to get Nebuchadnezzar to understand. If you just start being nice to the people and help the poor and not be so mean and ruthless, maybe, just maybe, God won't punish you. But no, he was still bragging and saying how great he was a whole year later, and he got punished. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever and ever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. So now we've had the examples and writings of four different men that are telling us basically the same things. You got to study. You have to be diligent. You have to have faith. You have to have charity. You got to have all of these things if you want that peace of God. If you want to be able to enter in to the gates of heaven and hear the angels singing and the trumpets blowing and everybody happy and just thankful that you made it. These are the things that we have to do. Now for the last thing, this is where it brings it all back together. Let's go to Acts. Because all of these things, somebody did. Second chapter of Acts, 22nd verse. This is Peter speaking again. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Like I said, it all points to one thing. Everything in the scriptures that you read, when you start to study it, it always leads back to one thing. Jesus Christ and the example and the sacrifice that he made for us. It's all there. The peace that the people felt when they were in his presence, when he was living with them and teaching them, and the joy that they would get and the love that they would feel, that's what's waiting for us if we do what this says. But if we don't understand what it says and we don't know what it says, then we haven't been studying and we haven't been diligent, and there's no way that we'll get approved. We will not pass the inspection. So my understanding of what it is that he wants us to do is he wants us to study and see where these things lead you. Look up the references. If you don't know how to find the references, then ask. We have concordances. Those are the big books that have all the words that are written in both of these books, both sets of scriptures that we have here, that tell you where to find the words on what page. And in some of the concordances, it even gives you a definition as to the Hebrew or the Greek translation way back then that they were using, what the words mean if you don't quite understand it. Okay, like diligent, or what did study mean, or approved, you know. And it tells you where to find these things, and it will lead you. But you have to do it. You have to study. It's not just to be able to come here and listen to Randy preach a really good sermon in the morning. That's not going to get it. You will not be able to get into heaven just by doing that. You have to study. You have to study the scriptures daily, so that when you're laying in bed at night and you're thinking about all the turmoil that's in your life and all of those things, and you've said your prayers and it's still going through your mind and you can't sleep, well, if you start thinking about the things that you've studied, the words that are written and the stories that are in here and how it all ties together, you're going to get some peace that night. And you'll be able to go, it's going to be okay. I can go to sleep. I don't have to fear. Remember, we read, you don't have to be afraid. If you've done these things, there's no reason to fear. And you can go to sleep. Have peace. But you got to study. Thank you.